This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Another check-in with what's going on in Salem and really around the state. With the Oregon State Legislature, State Representative Cedric Hayden represents parts of Douglas County and parts of Lane County as well. Cedric, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Yeah, Kyle, thanks for having me on this afternoon. It's always a pleasure.
So let's talk about redistricting. There's some interest in having an independent commission work on this issue instead of the legislature. Tell us more about that.
So sorry about the background noise here. That's going to go away in just a minute. I missed my timing a little bit. But the Independent Redistricting Commission is something that I'm very interested in doing. There is talk about that in the legislature, and it's critical this time around so that we can get a balance. You know that we don't have a balance in the legislature right now. And if we don't get the data from the census information, then that would default, unless there's a change in the courts, to the Secretary of State. So an independent commission is something I'm very strongly supportive of having do that.
Now, some people might look at that and say, wait a second, the legislature has that responsibility. Why wouldn't they take it?
Well, the complication this time, we would be happy to take it up in the legislature if we could, but the complication this time is the census data is not going to come into till September, and there's some hard timelines in our time frame there in our Constitution that we have to have, you know, that redistricting maps in process so that they can be finalized. And we can't have that without that data. So there's a conflict between lack of data, and there is some discussions going on about what could we do, what data could be used instead of the census data as we're looking at that. And I'm not on one of the redistricting committees, but it's a very important issue.
And with the 2022 election cycle not that far off, really, in a lot of ways, I mean, this has got to be determined by a certain point, because one of the questions on the federal level is whether Oregon ends up with a sixth member of Congress, and you've got to start with that aspect as well, including what to do with seats in Oregon.
Yeah, we're looking at adding a congressional district on the U.S. side in Congress. On the House side, we're adding a district there potentially. But then again, we can't prove that without the census data. It's kind of assumed at this point that we'll be adding that. So it's on the federal side. And then just the district by district, as we look at them now over the last couple of cycles of redistricting, they call it gerrymandering. If you look at kind of the instructions are to take like populations and put those in a district. Eugene, the area I'm from, is a good example because you've got University of Oregon there. And the way those districts are kind of drawn to an extent is like a pie. And in the center of the pie, these districts come in and then they pull in as much rural property, if you will, as they can, because the center of the pie is the center of Eugene. And we call that gerrymandering. And so, you know, we would like to have a commission look at that, since it doesn't look like we're going to be able to do it in the legislature, rather than have the Secretary of State do that.
So who would make up this commission and how would they be selected?
Well, there is some legislation for the commission, and the commission would be made up by citizens, right? Non-elected officials. The appointment of them would probably be through the governor's office or some mechanism like that. But I would hope that each area would be able to recruit their own, say, their PCPs or party members to make up that commission.
And then how would you set it up in terms of members of each party or libertarian, non-affiliated, et cetera, having a balance of folks involved in the process?
Well, I believe it should be nonpartisan. You can kind of liken that to our county commissioners. You know, many of our elected positions are nonpartisan. I think it should be a nonpartisan commission moving forward that takes that data. Now, we would have to have the courts approve some sort of extension on the timelines here in order to do that, so that we could have the real census data, which I understand is not likely to be here till September, and then have enough time, you know, before people start filing for election for 2022 to draw maps and get those together on a bipartisan support rather than the gerrymandering results of a partisan maps that have been drawn in the past.
So if you get to this commission model, they're still going to get the data in September if that timeline holds out. How much time do you give them to get through the process, and then would the legislature have to still approve it?
Well, I think one route to do that would be to get a commission together, a nonpartisan commission together, get, you know, we would have to probably have the Oregon State Supreme Court weigh in on the issue, get a leeway. But I think that those maps could probably be put together in about 30 days. So if we had that in September and October, have a deadline of October 31st for that commission, they have to work very quickly and diligently over that 45 days or so. And then we could ratify it in the legislature through a special session. But again, that's not the way it's currently set up because we're not normally looking at census data coming in so late.
Now, is the way that it's set up now, is that based on a constitutional provision or is that just a revised statute?
I believe it's a constitutional for not just the state of Oregon, but many states, they have these timelines. I think all of the states have these timelines that they have to, and I don't know if it's all in their constitution. My understanding is it is in Oregon's constitution that we have to have the timelines. I don't remember all the dates, but we have to have it done within this legislative session, which, of course, sine die is the end of June or July 5th or something like that. So it has to be done within this session, and obviously July comes before September, so we're not going to be able to make that time frame.
Oregon businesses, my understanding is, could be taxed on PPP loans the way things stand now. I know Congressman DeFazio has weighed in on this with the governor and the legislature asking that something be changed there for stimulus payments, particularly. For any of these, what are your thoughts about that? I know there's some differing proposals out there from both sides of the aisle right now.
So we do have some proposals to tax the payroll protection program or the loans that came through that. Now, with what recently passed in Congress, we are seeing that, if I have these numbers right, companies that borrowed that money that are under 20 or 25 employees, that will be turned into a grant. So, in fact, they would be trying to tax a grant, and those will be forgiven. And so, like Representative Wilde here from Lane County has a proposal to have this type of tax. And that's not something that I'm supportive of. So, you know, we're working diligently to try and make sure that not only those funds that go to small businesses so that they're able to maintain their employees, but the personal stimulus checks, whether that was $600 or $1,400 more currently.
And as well, let me take care of a little technical matter. There we go.
KQEN News.
All right, we're going to take a break right now while we get our technology solved. Back in a moment on Inside Douglas County and News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson on the way at 1. And tomorrow, Megan Graham, Executive Director of Saving Grace Pet Adoption Center. An update on some things they're working on, a virtual presentation happening this weekend. She'll tell you about that and a lot more on tomorrow's program. And, of course, later today, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show with the Commissioner of Dirt. State Representative Cedric Hayden on with us now talking about topics being looked at by the Oregon State Legislature. Let's talk more about this issue of whether you tax the assistance that businesses or individuals have gotten from the federal government due to COVID-19.
So So, yeah, we were talking earlier there that there is proposals to tax the stimulus, which is checks, which is what people received directly, have received directly from the federal government, whether that was a $600 check or most recently a $1,400 check, or perhaps their employer or they are an employer, small business, to where they could get a portion or basically, to simplify it, 2 months worth of payroll in 2 different years. If they qualified in 20 and 2021, those were available for employers to get that, with the idea to keep their employees employed, even though their restaurant may have been shut down, something like that. So these businesses were just passing through that to help, in effect, save the state from paying out unemployment benefits for those that were able to do that. And it wasn't a win for these businesses. It wasn't a profit center for them. So there's just no way that we should be taxing either the stimulus checks that were there to help people get through this COVID shutdown, or for the employer of the small and some larger businesses, but mostly the vast majority, those were small businesses, which will be forgiven if you have under 25 employees. It might be 20. I'm not sure on that number. And so, you know, now's the time to be applying for those grants or those loans to be forgiven. But again, a tax on that is just something that we shouldn't be considering.
And I know that State Representative Eric Warner-Reschke of Klamath Falls was kind of weighing on in on this yesterday in something that came out from the House Republican Caucus.
So I actually don't have his proposal on that at the top of my mind here. You'd have to remind me, Kyle. There's a lot of proposal out there, which is the one Warner's talking about today.
Well, it was just weighing in on that and talking about one of the Democratic proposals and just his thoughts, and it sounded like the thoughts of a lot of the House Republican caucus to make sure that this doesn't happen. And one of the aspects there, people are probably particularly concerned about it, as some folks have even gotten their new round of stimulus money today.
Yeah, so I agree with that. Folks probably aren't aware, but we were in session till after 9 o'clock last night, and if we have time, we can talk about a couple of particular bills that I've been working on. So I was working on legislative counsel and preparing to try and defend from some of these bills. So certainly agree with Warner-Reschke's approach there that we shouldn't be billed on that or taxed on that. But I haven't read his press release.
Let's talk about some of the other things going on in Salem. Still hearing a lot from the restaurant community asking that the governor and the Oregon Health Authority look at how the metrics are set up again, saying that there are very few cases of COVID-19 that are tied to restaurants, yet they're one of the industries that are taking the biggest hit in this. Thoughts about that?
Yeah, and so I think that we're getting to the point with the level of vaccinations coming up, and I'm a vice chair of the COVID committee, so we get weekly reports, very detailed weekly reports from Patrick Allen, the director of the Oregon Health Authority, and the charts or the numbers are, now you can have spikes here and there, but the numbers are significantly falling, and so we have some data, we have some science. If you look at Florida, they've taken a little bit different path on reopening earlier, and that appears to be going well for them. And so I think we need to be seriously looking at getting these restaurants reopened. You know, if you're in moderate, you're back up to 50%. Well, you know, if a restaurant's able to get 5 or 6% profit, they're, you know, generally doing really well. Or a small business, you know, there's just not that much profit margin, so you can't really survive on 50% capacity. Now, we are looking to receive about $2 billion, a little over $2 billion from the federal government with very little strings attached to it. So, you know, we're starting to hear from different constituency groups, frontline workers, grocery workers, that they feel like, you know, maybe some of those funds could be used to hold them harmless from what they went through. Don't necessarily disagree with that, but I think we should be looking at some of our small businesses for additional help for them also. Through no fault of their own, they just haven't been able to run their businesses. So I think some of that money, I'm hoping some of that money can be directed to these small businesses.
I know there's some talk in the other chamber in the Senate of a GOP walkout at some point. There's also a proposal to fine lawmakers if they do. What are you hearing in the House?
So there were some new rules that were passed. We get together during organizational and pass some rules, and I actually voted against these rules. But one of the things on the House side, and I didn't read the Senate side, but there's some fines built into it if you're absent from the legislature and you're not excused. Now, generally, we've talked about a little bit about this before we were having votes on the floor. You know, we only had to have people there, 40 people there to have a quorum. The Democrats are three seats shy of having quorum, so at least three Republicans have to be there for a quorum. So that's what they're talking about. You can generally get an excuse for, you know, anything in life that's reasonable. You turn in, it's requested to be turned in 48 hours in advance, your doctor's visit, you have to babysit your kids. You know, they even use the example of you got caught behind a train and couldn't get there on time. Those things are excused. What they're talking about with this fine is if a quorum isn't present and there's not an excuse for that, basically denying quorum, they have intention of fining individual members up to $500 a day.
And do you think this is going to end up happening again, a walkout?
I would say I think it's pretty unlikely that approach has been taken, at least on the House side. I won't speak for the Senate side. I think a walkout is unlikely this time around because we did do the walkout last time, and the Senate did it the time before that, and then again this time around. And we've had an election since then, so we've had people to go out and vote and, you know, have a change of that. We did gain one seat. That's great. We would have liked to gain three or four seats so that they didn't have that supermajority. But I don't personally see a quorum-denying walkout as a routine thing that we would see going session after session.
You mentioned being there late, having session late last night. What are some of the things that have been going on this week so far?
So there's a couple of things that have been going on, particularly in my healthcare, and I'll try not to get too much into the weeds, but, you know, there's a saying that says, you know, never let a crisis go to waste. And what we're seeing in healthcare, and I'll list a couple of bills if anybody really wants to look them up. There's a bill 3057, and there's a bill 2060. Both of those bills have to do with releasing individually identifying health information. 3057, I did get a legislative opinion, worked with the attorneys on that, because it allows the Oregon Health Authority to release individual information on anybody that has had a COVID test. Now, it's important that that's not a positive test. That's any test. It allows anybody to be tested that would be susceptible or within their circle, you know, family members, individual data released on that. And then the final or the third point was anybody that OHA feels is part of the COVID recovery. So I asked in committee, can you list me one Oregonian that wouldn't be listed as having their data, individual health data, released? And they couldn't answer that question. Basically, it covers everybody. So there's a big push to open up health information. And on the other bill I mentioned, 2060, it actually has to do with repealing a statute that protects students' health information if they're seen at a student or a university counseling or any health records. Those belong to the university, and those are subject to disclosure, but they can't do it recklessly, and there's a bill to repeal. They can't do that recklessly. So I spent a lot of time working on those two bills the last week or so and defending against them.
About 30 seconds left. Final thoughts about how things are going in the session so far.
Well, things are moving along. We're getting close to our deadline, so we're in a really hectic period now, which is strange because we're in a hectic hearing and work session, meaning voting on the bills in committee, but the floor session hasn't caught up to that. So we're going to be seeing a big backlog of bills coming down the pipe for the floor session. And so, you know, we talked about, you know, is end of April a good time to reopen? So I think you'll see the floor session having to reopen pretty soon.
All right. State Representative Cedric Hayden, thanks for being on today.
Thank you, sir.
1258 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.